Good evening, Phil Grimes. The task I've got this evening is if you can sense what Professor Lazar was talking about just now, if you feel that we're on that edge of breakthrough or breakdown, if you can feel the call which John just talked about to the next phase for the Netherlands, then what does it mean for me? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for us in terms of what we need to do and how we need to be together to make that step? What leadership is being asked of us to take us through this phase? I like this guy. He's kind of cool. One of the key things that we're going to have to deal with at the moment is the old systems break down and the new ones aren't there yet. As in this phase of chaos that Irvin was talking about, where every little intervention has an increased impact, is the capacity to be able to adapt and respond rapidly. To be able to take feedback and act on it. One of the key pieces of data which Clay Gray has discovered in his work as this leap to the next system, this momentous leap, was a quantum shift in our capacity to take feedback on our own ideas without taking it personally. Without identifying ourselves with the idea that we have. And you probably feel what a shift that is, because the moment that you start to identify with your idea, then you begin to get really upset when someone criticizes your idea, and we don't get anywhere. So can we take feedback on our ideas together and move on? Not identify ourselves with what we think. And at the same time as being adaptable and flexible, can we hold our own integrity, our own wholeness? The nature of a successful living system is one that is able to hold its own identity and at the same time able to be flexible and respond. So who are we? What is my deeper purpose? And at the same time, am I able to rapidly respond to the changes which I'm sensing around me? This chaos point that we're sitting in, it feels to me like a vortex, like a great big kind of whirlpool that's swirling around, a great big hurricane, and you're sitting at the middle, and this kind of chaos is swirling around. At the moment you try to grab hold of anything, you get pulled up and around with it, and a whole system cramps up. Anybody recognize that? Yeah. You can't see the big picture anymore. You're kind of focused down here. You can't see the big picture. Your emotional intelligence goes through the floor. So can we sit in this point of chaos? And can we let go the old ways? And can we let come the new? This is a big one. Can we accept that at the moment we don't know exactly what the solutions are? Because in these critical transition phases, if we try to design the solution too quickly, then we design it from that old thinking that Einstein was talking about, and we just make more of a mess. So can we step into a space of not knowing? Not actually knowing what the next step is. Not knowing the answer. And when I sit in organizations and ask people this, and I say, hang on, we've been programmed to like, problem fixing. And I'm saying like, problem, wait a minute. And as we sit in this chaos, as we sit in this stillness at the center and watch the patterns swirling around us, can we begin to sense the pattern in the chaos? Can we begin to see what's lying behind this subtle order? Can we begin to see that? Can we begin to feel it? And as it's swirling around, we begin to see the patterns. We wait until the timing is right, and then you act. And you see what happens. But to do that, we have to be able to have that place of stillness that Herman Weichel was talking about. Cultivate that place of stillness from which we can see the chaos, not get caught up in it. And as we're sitting there, as we're sensing the world around us, we've got to be looking out for the signals that are coming in on the breeze. You know, it's the beginning of spring, and you probably, a few days ago, you walked out your door one morning, you went, spring. I can smell spring in the air. So as we sit in this transition point, can we begin to sense what's beginning to emerge without immediately going, oh, that's it, now we've got the answer? But just sit in the center and begin to get a feeling for what's calling from the future, and when we begin to pick up those signals, immediately direct our attention to them. Immediately. Just as we inquire into what those signals are, the fact that we're giving them attention makes them crystallize, gives them more form, calls it in. But if we don't pick up those signals, then the future's calling, we're missing the boat. And then Irvin's two lines become very irrelevant. So that other line, you know, the breakthrough line, is there. It's happening. It's happening already. So we've got to be paying attention. This is tall poppy syndrome. Because I tell you, folks, it's time to stake your hope over the minefield. Sorry about that. I know that may not be the best piece of news this evening, but there's nothing else to do. Right, the old systems don't work. We're not just going to kind of try and fit into the old ways of doing it. Someone said the other day when we were doing these presentations, isn't it really high risk to kind of, you know, experiment with this new way and to stake your hope over Michael? And actually, Irvin answered and said, well, if you just look at the diagrams I just showed, I'd say it's pretty high risk not. But we shouldn't kid ourselves either. You know, the moment you stick your head up, the old system has got an immune system in it. And the moment that the new system begins to get on the radar screen of the old system, that immune system will kick in. And that requires serious boldness, courage, clarity of intention to keep believing in it and to stick with it. It's like the metaphor of the caterpillar, yeah, which munches its way through huge amounts of green, gets over bloated and fat, over consumes, hangs itself up in its cocoon, and what happens in there is that the cells of the butterfly begin to emerge. I found out that the biologists call them imaginal cells, because they are cells which are imagining the future. And what happens is that the organism of the caterpillar tries to actually, the immune system tries to attack and neutralize these cells, because they feel like alien bodies, but they're resonating at a higher level and are protected from the attacks. And it's the moment that those cells begin to connect that the roots dissolve and the flinders. So, you know, everything which people have been saying here about it's time to connect, it's time for these cells, these imaginal cells, and I think we have a large number of imaginal cells in the room today. It's time for us to get it together, and that's what we hope the Center for Human Emergence begins to offer. But at the same time, we've got to take it a little bit lightly. If we start to take ourselves too seriously, we're in big trouble. You know, the time of an activist who is like, I've got to go out there and change the world. Because what happens? You get too quickly attached to your own vision of the future, and you're not open to what's emerging right here, right now. So we've got to be playful and experimental. You know, the nature of emergence is that at the point where you pick up the crisis signals, people begin to experiment all over the place. Experiments. I guess we've probably got about 900 experimenters in this room today. But we've got to take it lightly, not become attached to our own pet project. I found the way. Part of that playfulness and lightness, in my experience, is also something about dancing some of these polarities that we've traditionally experienced as pulling us apart. And a key one is responsibility and release. On the one hand, we've got to be letting go to allow things to emerge. But if we let go too much, you sit back and go, oh, well, we'll just wait and see what happens. Because everything is fine, just as it is. And the other side of that is stepping in to take responsibility for something. If you hold on to that too much, then you're not open enough to what's emerging. So we've got this kind of dance between step in, take responsibility, step back, release, let it go. We've got... Can you pull up the slide again so people can just see the three? We've got the sensing and acting, which is this continual dance between stepping back and sensing what's there, as I was talking about earlier, and then seeing the moment. The timing is essential. This probably wouldn't have happened even 6 months ago, this event. Sensing what's happening, and the moment that the opportunity is there, acting fully. No doubt or question, act, fire. Step back, see what happened. The 5-year plans and history. Anyone in here has written a 5-year plan for your organisation? Sorry, guys. Because what happens? You act, and as we all know from the new sciences, you take a step, do something, and it impacts everything else. So you make a nice plan, you take the first step, and the world's changed. Bye-bye plan. So it's this continual dance between sense, act, sense, act, sense, act. One step at a time. One step at a time. And this last word, converge, diverge, converge. Diverging, allow the diversity and the chaos in, because we need to see what's there. But if you let it go at this point, poof, it's gone, nothing comes out. So you're sensing this diverge, you're looking for the moments to pull things back together to provide clarity. And you're getting this diverge, converge. Not breathing. The dance between chaos and order. And in that space, emerges the possibility for co-creation. Co-creation in the field of relationships between us. In the field of relationships between us, where, you know, often you'll sit in a meeting and people are kind of busy talking about what's important to them, and someone will be saying something in the meantime, somebody else is sitting there and you can see they're already preparing what they're going to say in their head. They're not listening to what the other person is saying, they're just listening to their voice to hear where they're going to end their sentence. What's going to happen then? You just get all sorts of stuff thrown in the middle and nothing emerges. Now that sounds really simple, but just think to yourself about, you know, how often you sit in conversations not really listening to people, but preparing what it is that you think they should hear you say, because you're really important and what you have to say is essential. Now, can we really be present with what's trying to emerge and build on it? Can we create truly co-creative spaces? And at the same time as building our relationships in that kind of space, we need to be designing natural design or habitats that Don talks about that fit the environment naturally, that fit who we are, that fit the functions. Not old systems, not one size fits all solutions, but natural designs that fit who we are, that fit the needs. And then shifting it to the individual, to us. So much of us, I think, when we're involved in trying to change things, we stop looking after ourselves. Are you drinking your 2 litres of water a day? Are you eating healthy food? Are you taking exercise? Are you protecting yourself against electrosmog? Ah, that's one you're not doing, is it? Are you looking after your energy systems in whatever way you do, whatever practice you've chosen? Guys, this is, you know, what Urban sketched out, this isn't going to be an easy ride. We're going to need everybody, and we need you fit, and we need you healthy. It's going to be stressful times. We've got to learn how to look after ourselves. A burnt-out activist is no good to anybody. Please, come on. Get your sleep. Drink your water. Okay. To finish off, these last two, I think, are just... I think these last two, you know, if you get these last two right, they're the ones which are going to have the greatest impact. Underlying nearly all the previous points, I think, is the capacity not to be attached to anything, not even to be attached to not being attached to anything. Not being attached to what worked in the past. Not being attached to how we think the future should be. Letting go, developing the capacity to be able to see things as they are and letting them pass. Capacity to create a place of stillness, Evan Michael was talking about, which enables you to have the capacity not to be attached particularly to yourself and the importance of your own ideas. This is a big one. Anyone involved in your own spiritual practice will know the moment you start to address that, you come across quite a lot of stuff. Huh? So anytime you feel irritation, it means you're attached to something. Anytime you're feeling irritated, something is rubbing. So ask yourself, what is it I'm attached to right now? Develop it as a practice. It's really key. Why? Because if we really want to be available for what's trying to emerge, we need to be fully present. Which means we have to let go of our attachments to everything. However, if that goes too far, and this is the second point, then you can become detached. And that means, you know, I'm afraid to say it, I've encountered this so often in people who are so busy with their own inner work and their spiritual practice, as you sit on the meditation cushion the whole time, and everything's just as it is. Everything's just as it is. So it doesn't matter what I do. My actions don't matter because everything just is, man. Ooh. Anyone recognize that? Everything just is the way it is, the universe is just the way it is, and who cares if I do this or that? What happened to the moral responsibility? So this final point. deep feeling is really the antidote to that. And that is, do we allow ourselves to feel the pain of the world? Do we really allow ourselves to let it in? Because we, you know, you see it comes in on CNN, it comes in on BBC, it comes in to our living rooms every day. The species loss, the thousands of children who die every day from hunger and lack of water. Do we really allow ourselves to feel that? Do we feel the pain? Do we feel the joy? Because this is the space where the passion emerges. Why? Because we care. Because we care about people. Because we care about our planet. Because we care about our life. It's not just everything is to look after itself. It's fine. Because we care. And that's what makes things happen. The reason we're here tonight is we have a group of people who care about the Netherlands. Who care about the future of this country. Who care about the future of this planet. And if we lose that sense of feeling, if we just have this kind of non-attachment, the detachment, then we lose contact with people. Why do you think Pim Fortuyn was so successful in rousing people? Whether we agree with his ideas or not, he felt, and people felt that he felt. So we've got to develop both the insight into the interconnectedness of all things and the compassion. Too much deep feeling and compassion and we get burnt out. We get burnt out. We feel the pain, we feel the pain, we feel the pain. But what the non-attachment gives us is the capacity to feel it and to let it pass. So we feel it, but we don't allow it to knock us off center. Because we've got work to do. We're going to finish with a little exercise, a little practice, of what we've been talking about. So what I would like you to do is I would like you to look across the room and I would like you to rest your eyes on one person. And it doesn't matter if they're looking at you or not. Just rest your eyes, pick one person, rest your eyes on them, calm down. Feel your feet on the ground. Feel your bum on your seat. Breathe. As you look at that person, just ask yourself, I wonder what they do. Is there some work which they do? Do they have a family, kids? Just allow any information that comes in, doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, it's a nice story. What do you pick up about this person? What kind of profession are they in? Now, as you look at that person, imagine what that person feels as they look at the state of the world. As they become aware of what's happening around this planet at this time, what does that person feel? What goes on? What goes on inside them? And they really allow it to sink in. Now, as you look at that person, just imagine. imagine what it would be like to work together with that person to build the future of the Netherlands.